First of our readings this evening is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 11. This can be found on page 742. The following reading also, if you want to look forward to that, is on page 1052, if you want to get that ready. So starting with Isaiah 55. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now to chapter Luke, verse 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Amen.
Our thoughts this evening are suggested by words we've read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, a very well-known story of Zacchaeus the tax collector. And we're particularly thinking about verses 9 and 10 this evening, where Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, what do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, we know that Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. He was wealthy. He wasn't tall, and he could climb trees. He also ended up unexpectedly hosting Jesus for a meal. Now, Zacchaeus, we're told, was a chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors at the time, seemed to operate on a franchise from the Roman authorities. In other words, the Romans told the tax collector how much tax they expected to receive from him. Anything that he was able to collect above and beyond that, the tax collector could keep. Now, that tended to make taxation rather haphazard for those who were taxed, and it gave the tax collectors an incentive to be creative in the way they did their job. As a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus would have had plenty of opportunities to be enterprising in this way, and indeed we can infer that Zacchaeus was rich. However, ironically, his name means pure or innocent. At that time, Jericho, where Zacchaeus lived and worked, was a centre of production and export for balsam. It was a significant industry in the region, and so Jericho was a very wealthy area. So Zacchaeus would have also been wealthy because he would have been wealthy from the profits that he made from taxing a very wealthy and prosperous industry. In the account of this story that we have from Luke, Zacchaeus arrived ahead of the crowd to meet Jesus, who was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but being short in stature, he knew that he couldn't see Jesus through the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree close to where Jesus would pass. When Jesus reached the tree, which was, as we read, indeed a sycamore fig tree rather than just any old sycamore tree, Jesus looked up and he addressed Zacchaeus by name and he told him to come down because he intended to visit his house. The crowd, we're told, was shocked because Jesus, a religious teacher and a prophet, would sully himself by being the guest of someone of the publican class. Zacchaeus' story doesn't necessarily end with his entertaining Jesus to a meal, being so influenced by Jesus' teaching that he turned honest, and being told by Jesus that today salvation has come to this house. The Apostolic Constitutions, a collection of 8 treatises on moral conduct, liturgy, and church organization, which were written sometime between 375 and 380 AD, and probably compiled in Antioch, identify Zacchaeus the publican as the first bishop of Caesarea. And medieval legend identifies Zacchaeus with Saint Amador. It claims him to be the founder of Rock Amador, a vertical town built into the rock cliff in France's Dordogne region. And if you haven't been to Rock Amador, I can thoroughly recommend it. It's a fantastic place to go and visit. In Eastern Orthodox and Greek Catholic churches of the Slavic tradition, you'll be interested to know, the gospel account of Zacchaeus is always read on the Sunday immediately preceding Lent. That happens to be this Sunday this year. For that reason, that Sunday is known as Zacchaeus Sunday. And the traditional message on that Sunday is of Jesus' call to Zacchaeus to come down from the tree, symbolizing the divine call to humility, and of Zacchaeus' subsequent repentance. But Zacchaeus' story also sheds some light on the potentially confusing issue of how we can be sure that we are, in Jesus' terms, saved. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening, saving Zacchaeus, because this story highlights 4 characteristics of any and every saved person. First, we can notice that anyone who is interested in achieving salvation is going to be determined in seeking it. Idle curiosity wouldn't and couldn't have compelled a wealthy, respectable, prominent man in his community, such as Zacchaeus, to behave in so undignified a manner as to climb a tree just so that he could see a wandering teacher walk by. He had a position in society to maintain, and yet he risked causing some gossip by taking an unusual, but admittedly highly practical, course of action just to see Jesus. Only serious determination and resolve could have caused Zacchaeus to climb the tree and appear so undignified in public. From other aspects of this story, we can surmise that Zacchaeus was dissatisfied with his way of life, and he was dissatisfied with himself. He had a hunger, he had a longing for a change in his life. It was something he felt that only Jesus could supply, even if he might not have been entirely certain what that something was. Nonetheless, Zacchaeus' actions confirmed that he was in earnest in trying to see Jesus, and perhaps to hear something of what Jesus was saying. What Zacchaeus didn't know was that Jesus was actually seeking him as well. And when you get a situation where you have a seeking sinner and a seeking saviour, the two are bound to meet. Those who are earnest in finding salvation will find it. Those who really want their deepest spiritual longings to be satisfied will find what they're looking for. As Jeremiah related, God has said, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you and will bring you back from captivity." That's in Jeremiah chapter 29. Zacchaeus found an opportunity and he took that opportunity to meet Jesus. Zacchaeus obeyed the word of the prophet Isaiah to seek the Lord while he is to be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Now we read those words from Isaiah 55 tonight. In his earnest endeavour to meet Jesus, Zacchaeus took the opportunities that presented themselves and found both Jesus and salvation. In his determinedness to meet Jesus, Zacchaeus overcame several difficulties. After all, there were plenty of reasons to prevent him seeking Jesus. His position as a chief tax collector made him a public figure. His actions would have attracted attention normally. But taking time off work to go climbing a tree, what would people say of him? And yet, Zacchaeus knew that he needed to see and hear Jesus. He was a short man in a large crowd, so the tree seemed a good idea. But before he could climb that tree, Zacchaeus had to overcome his fear of others' opinions. In particular, he had to consider and overcome his thoughts about the consequences of what his family and his close friends would say about what he was doing. In addition, Zacchaeus had to overcome his pride, which was the greatest hindrance of all to doing what he did so that he could see Jesus. Those who want to meet Jesus and enjoy the salvation that he gives must be determined to find him and be determined not to rest until they have secured the salvation that they seek. And this means them overcoming all sorts of obstacles, whatever the cost. A half-hearted interest in Christ, a feeble desire for salvation, a passing interest in the Christian faith, and/or an unwillingness to overcome the obstacles that life will throw in the way cannot bring us the joy of salvation. Nor can it bring the peace of mind that knowing Christ brings. If we want what Jesus offers us, we must be earnest about spiritual things and about our soul's welfare. We need to persevere in our search for Jesus until we know his forgiveness and his transforming power in our lives. But then we can notice Zacchaeus' definiteness in action. Zacchaeus was determined, but he was also definite in his actions. He must have been surprised when Jesus stopped at the tree in which he was. It must have been a further surprise when Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus would have been more used to people finding excuses not to visit him and eat with him. Certainly, religious Jews would have steered clear of Zacchaeus if they could. By contrast, Jesus seemed happy to engage with him and show him kindness, love, and friendship. Zacchaeus received Jesus into his home, into his heart, into his life, and he believed Jesus and believed in what Jesus had said. This was a definite action on Zacchaeus' part, and a rather concrete and practical example of the words we find in John's Gospel. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's in John chapter 1, of course. And a little later in his Gospel, John returns to this theme when he writes, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." Paul supports this view. He wrote to the church in Rome, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved." That's in Romans chapter 10. And Peter, speaking in the house of Cornelius, says, "All the prophets testify about Jesus that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That's in Acts chapter 10. Now, this would suggest that anyone who wants to be saved and to be certain of this fact must receive Jesus Christ, accept him, and welcome him into their heart and their life. Doing this, of course, is a highly personal matter. Only the person concerned knows if she or he has really received Jesus Christ into their life. But if that has happened, that person is a Christian and enjoys the salvation won for human beings by Jesus. This reception of Christ into our life can lead to misunderstanding and some form of adverse reaction from our friends, our colleagues, even from our family. Indeed, it seems impossible for anyone to consciously become a Christian and not experience some measure of opposition. As a Christian, at least some of our attitudes, our outlook, and our behaviour are going to irritate some non-Christians purely because they don't believe and behave in the same way as we do. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his followers, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, from all this, we can appreciate that if we want to enjoy the salvation that Christ brings us, we should be prepared to suffer for our allegiance to Jesus Christ. The nearer we grow to be like Christ, the greater the opposition we can expect. The more evident the Spirit of Christ is in us, the more likely we are to be misunderstood. However, towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus told his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So, Zacchaeus was determined in seeking Jesus, and he was definite in his action to welcome Jesus into his home, his heart, and his life, regardless of what it would cost him, as we see in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. It's that verse that also illustrates the third characteristic of salvation. We read that Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." When Zacchaeus received and believed in Jesus, he let everyone know it. He declared his faith openly. He had no intention of being a secret disciple. Those who've received Jesus Christ into their heart and life shouldn't be ashamed to admit it. It's indecision, uncertainty, and fear that cause people to hesitate to declare their faith in Jesus. Those who really know Christ, who are trusting in him, experience the power of Christ's Spirit within them and can take advantage of Christ's promise that whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. This testimony to Christ and his transforming power in a person's life is a witness to our fellow Christians as well as to non-believers. It's a testimony to the reality of receiving Christ and thus a testimony to the fact of salvation. Now we can safely assume that Zacchaeus did what he said he'd do, especially if the story is true that he became the first bishop of Caesarea. Similarly, declaring our faith in Christ is also seen in the way that we behave. Daily obedience to the way of Christ is a highly practical way of declaring our faith in him. When Zacchaeus received Jesus, he said two things. First, he said that he would share some of his possessions with those whose needs were greater than his own. Then he said he'd make restitution of any mistakes that he had made or for any creative accounting in which he had indulged. This was the evidence of the change that had taken place in Zacchaeus' heart. His faith was being expressed in deeds, and this made clear that Zacchaeus had been converted and was now serving a new master. Zacchaeus was no longer merely pleasing himself, rather he was serving Jesus. Here is proof of someone's salvation. We can know if we're really saved if our lives are transformed. Those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour can never remain as they were, because they should display a change in outlook, a change in attitude, and a change in action. This is what conversion means, a complete, radical, noticeable change. Of course, the rate of that change in a person's life is going to vary, because its progression depends on the measure of that person's self-surrender to Christ. Of course, Zacchaeus never needed to rely on his own feelings or on the opinions and assurances of other people to know that he had really been saved. He could rely entirely on Jesus' words, because Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Similarly, the only way for us to be assured of our salvation is to rely upon the word of Jesus Christ. The paralyzed man, brought to Jesus through the roof of the house where Jesus was, relied on Jesus' words. We read that when Jesus saw the faith of those involved in this incident, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The dying thief also relied on Jesus' words of, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." We can rely on Jesus' word when he says, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." That's in John chapter 5. Of course, John also reports Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He's lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If we believe in Jesus Christ and we receive him in our heart and in our life as our Saviour from sin, if we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, then we can know that we are saved, because Jesus has said that we are. We can indeed rely on Christ's word. Now, it wasn't long after this meeting with Zacchaeus that Jesus was crucified. It was by dying on that cross that Jesus made possible our salvation. As the first letter of Peter reminds us, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is the basis of our salvation. By faith in Jesus Christ and what he did, we experience salvation. By our reliance on his word and our obedience to his commands, we are assured of salvation. May this be our joy and our experience. Amen.